Hi there. My name is Matt, and I'm one of the pastors at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin. We are so glad that you found our content online. We would love it if you would connect with us at heightschurch.org/connect, and we'd love to see you in person. We worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thanks for joining us.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. I want to say Merry Christmas to you. I hope you are doing well. For our guests tonight, we want to welcome you in our Christmas Eve service. My name is Lee, and I'm one of the pastors here. And if you have a Bible with you tonight, I invite you to open to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4 is we're going to be, if you have a paper Bible or maybe an electronic Bible, Galatians chapter 4 is where I want to take you tonight. And as we open to Galatians 4, if you don't mind, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for who you are. God, it is awesome to be able to come together tonight to remember the birth of our Savior Jesus. So many years ago, one holy night, just as Catherine and the worship team just sang, Christ was born. And Father, I pray that as we examine that again tonight, afresh and anew, that you will draw us closer to you. That, Father, we may worship you and we may know you as the good Father that you are through the work of your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Help us in this time as families in this room to worship and to love you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, growing up, my family had several traditions on Christmas Eve, and I don't know if you guys have a lot of Christmas Eve traditions, but in our house here were some of them. First, we would go to Christmas Eve service at our church. We were always there on Christmas Eve, and then after Christmas Eve service, we would get in the car and we would kind of drive around town and look at Christmas lights and the various subdivisions around town and look at the Christmas lights. And then after Christmas light time, we would go home and we would eat a meal or a late snack, and then we would always read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. Before bed, my sister and I would always ask one last thing from my parents. One last thing we wanted to do on Christmas Eve. And every year, we would always ask. And every year, the answer was always the same. It almost became a tradition, I think, in our house to ask and for our parents to give us the same response every year, no matter how hard we ask. No matter what case we laid out, no matter how passionate we were in our request every year for my sister and I was this: before we go to bed on Christmas Eve, can we please open just one present? And every year, no. And here's why we got the no. My parents would say, no, we're not opening a present tonight because it's not time for that. We don't open presents on Christmas Eve. We open presents on Christmas morning when it's the right time. All right, parents, amen, thank you, you're good. Now I've just armed you with some things for tonight, right? But here's the thing. You had a group of people, the Jewish people, who had been waiting a long, long time for a Messiah. A long time where they said, Lord, we want the Messiah to come. We're praying for the Messiah to come. We're praying for the Messiah to come. And a lot of times God said, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. And then when it was time, the perfect time, the right time, the Messiah came. And tonight, I want to take you to a Christmas passage in Galatians chapter 4 in verses 4 through 6 and quickly just go over two things within this passage that we see. First, we're going to look at how Jesus came and then why Jesus came. Let's look in verse 4 together. We read of how Jesus came. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Notice how Paul writes that, when the fullness of time had come. If you have a NIV translation, it may say, when the time had fully come. Essentially, it means this: in God's perfect time Jesus was born. And notice what Paul says. He says, in that perfect time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son who was born of a woman. When Christ came into this world, it is Christ that was fully God and he was fully man. He had the very same substance of God. Jesus wasn't like God. Jesus was God. So that means here on earth, Jesus did things only God could do. It was Jesus in the middle of a storm, one time out in the boat with the disciples, that said, "Peace be still," and the storm automatically stopped. It was Christ that cast demons out of people. It was Christ that healed people. It was Christ that raised the dead. It was Christ that forgave people of their sin. Jesus did only what God could do because he was fully God. But it's Jesus who is also fully man. I mean, Jesus was fully man. Jesus got tired and he needed to rest. Jesus got hungry and he needed to eat. It's Jesus who felt emotions that you feel. There are times where Jesus was sad and he cried. There was happy and he laughed. There was times he felt betrayed from a friend, like you may feel betrayed. And so what Paul's saying is, when the perfect time came, in God's perfect timing, Christ came, God sent Jesus, who was born of a woman, this one who was eternally with God, had a human beginning. He was born of a woman. But notice also in verse 4, it said that in that fullness of time that had come, God sent forth this son, born of a woman, born under the law. That means this: in Christ, he had to keep God's law perfectly, just as God calls me and you to keep it perfectly. And here's the fundamental difference between Jesus and us. Christ kept it all perfectly. You and I don't keep God's laws perfectly. You and I don't always love him with all our heart and our soul and our mind. There's a lot of times that you and I only love him halfway. We may only love him when it's convenient. We only may love him when we want something. You know, you and I don't always treat our parents with honor and respect as God calls us to. You know, so you stop and think about all those things that God calls us to, and what you're going to find is that you and I don't perfectly keep the law. And because we don't keep the law, that's what's called sin, and that sin separates us from God, and that sin now enslaves us deeper and deeper into our sin. And so therefore, when we're trying to find freedom, we're trying to find forgiveness, we can't find it in keeping more and more of the law. It's a vicious cycle of morality we can get in, to where we say, listen, maybe if I'm good enough and I obey enough and I love God enough, maybe then God would love me back. Maybe then God would forgive me. And here's the beautiful part of Christianity. See, religion is going to say, obey, and then you'll be saved. Christianity says, you're saved, therefore obey. And what you see is that it is Christ who came, just like you and I. We had a beginning, a birth, and he was fully God and fully man, born under the law to keep that law perfectly. And think about this for a moment. I thought about this earlier this week, and I just, you know, I thought, man, how amazing this is of the birth of Christ. He could have come any different way. I mean, he could have come just riding down on the clouds. He could have come as a full-grown adult. He could have come as a wealthy king. He could have come in all of his power and all of his glory, as he will come a second time. He could have showed up that way. But instead, he chose to come as a baby, born to Mary and Joseph, two people who were not of power, not of prestige. He came in one of the most humblest ways you can come, being born in a stable, placed in a manger. He came like us in order one day to stretch out his arms and die on a cross for us. And so we see that Christ came this way. But why did he come? Why did Jesus come into this world? Well, look in verses 5 and 6. It says, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent for the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I love when we look at how Christ came and why He came. He came to redeem us, those who were under the law. You know, that word redeem, it means to purchase. And when you stop and think about that word redeem in this Roman society, it would take you to the slave market where someone could come and purchase the freedom of a slave. And this is what Christ has done for you and He's done for me. He purchases our salvation. He buys that, if you will. The Bible says that He purchased it with His own blood. And so Christ is calling you out of slavery. He's calling you in to Him and to His house and to His family. And He's saying, don't be enslaved by sin. Don't be enslaved by work. Don't be enslaved by trying to just find your own way in life. All those things will enslave you and they'll leave you empty. And Jesus says, I'm coming to buy you out of that. I'm coming to die for you and purchase you out of it. You know, when you stop and think about it, everybody worships somebody. Everybody worships somebody. Everybody worships something. And this morning, it may be your comfort. It may be your job. It may be your possessions. And those have become your God. It may be a person. Maybe a relationship. Maybe the lack of a relationship. And that's become your God. But let me tell you this, and this is what I have found. I am a terrible master of my own life. And in my life, I've tried to worship other masters, and those are terrible masters. But there is one good master, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the perfect master who says, I've come to buy you out of all of that sin that is enslaving you. Just like Catherine and the worship team sang on O Holy Night, chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. It is Christ that breaks those chains in our life. It's Christ that sets us free from our sin. But not only does He do it for that reason, I want you to notice why He sets us free. And I love the beauty of this. In the remaining verses, Christ comes to redeem us, those under the law enslaved to it, so that, notice this, we might receive adoption as sons. And He says, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And He's using the word son there, and that's going to come to sons and daughters is what that means. But when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, it's God that not only sets you free from sin, sets you free from the slavery and consequences of it. God says, you're now going to be one of my kids. I'm adopting you in. And the privilege of that is now we call Him Abba. We call Him Father. He becomes our perfect heavenly Father. And not only that, now we're co-heirs of everything. We're the heirs of heaven. We have all the blessings of heaven. And this is what I love about Christianity. Because Christianity right here separates itself from all other religions. So you understand, all other religions are going to call you to work your way to God. All other religions are going to tell you, try to be good enough, try to be moral enough, try to keep the rules enough, try to work hard enough, and maybe at the end of your life, you will have achieved enough good that will outweigh your bad, and maybe you will achieve that salvation you long for. Every other religion is going to say that. Every other religion is going to say, you work your way to God. What is so unique about Christianity is Christianity says God comes to us. God came down to us. God became like one of us in order to die for us, to set us free. And then God brings us into His family eternally. Notice how communal that is. Notice how familiar that is. Notice the family aspect of that. Because you might have had a really hard earthly father. You may have had a really hard childhood. And tonight you may say, you know what, I have a lot of issues when you start talking about God being our Father. But this is a good dad. This is a perfect heavenly Father that says, I love you and I will continue to love you for all of eternity because I'm bringing you in to my family. I'm redeeming you and I am saving you. You know, I said earlier when we started that every Christmas Eve, my sister and I would ask that one request of our parents. Can we open just one present? And they'd always say, no, it's not the right time. You have to wait for the right time. Tonight, it's the right time to say yes to Jesus Christ. Tonight, you don't have to wait. Tonight can be that night that you open the perfect Christmas gift, and that's Jesus. Tonight, you can say simply, Jesus, I know I have sin in my life, and I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I'm ready to follow you with my life. And what you're going to find is you're going to find forgiveness of your sin. You're going to find a God that doesn't turn you away. You're going to find a God that doesn't shame you. You're going to find a God that brings you into his family. And that's a God that says, I will always be with you because now I'm your Abba Father. I'm your dad. And I am always with you. I am the God Emmanuel with you throughout all of your life and throughout all of eternity. And so I want to invite you tonight, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus alone, maybe you are saying, I'm unsure about that, or I'm ready to do that. Tonight, you don't have to wait another minute. You don't have to wait another time. Tonight is that perfect time to say yes to Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you for sending Jesus. I want to invite you right now where you are to pray. And I want to invite you just to use your own words to talk to God. And maybe for some of you tonight, it's to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. God, you're a good God. And you can look back at all of this year and see the Lord's faithfulness through it in the good times and the hard times. I want to invite you to just talk to God in your own way that way. I want to invite those of you tonight where you may be unsure of your salvation. Maybe you're ready to be saved. You can have that eternity forever determined right now by saying yes to Jesus. An invitation into God's family is out there for you by God, given by God. He sent forth Jesus just for you, for this moment, right now, to be able to say yes to him and to come into his family and have your sin forgiven. And maybe right now you want to pray something similar to this. You say, man, I don't even know what to say. Well, listen, it's just what's on your heart, but let me help voice maybe what you're thinking and what you're feeling. You can say something just like this to God in your own words. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And God, I need Jesus to save me. And tonight I place my faith and my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you for saving me. Father, I thank you tonight that we can celebrate Jesus Christ being born of a woman, being born under the law and perfectly keeping that law in order to redeem us, in order for us to be adopted into your family as sons and daughters and co-heirs of your kingdom. Lord, thank you for that blessing of that. Father, pray for those kids, teenagers, and adults in this room or at home that are watching that may have prayed that prayer tonight just to say, yes, I'm ready to follow Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. What a gift this Christmas that Jesus Christ and his salvation is. We pray in Christ's name, amen and amen.
You know, the Bible calls us just to pray in our own words, in our own way. And so maybe you've never really prayed or you say, I'm ready to place my faith in Christ, but I don't know what to say.
then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that you can follow along with me right where you are. And it's God that knows your heart. And so you can simply just bow in prayer and say, "Dear God, today I'm ready to place my faith and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen." You know, if you've prayed that prayer today, first and foremost, we are proud of you. We're excited that you're taking that step of faith, and we'd love to connect with you, follow up with you, and just cheer you on in your journey now with Christ. And so you can connect with us by going to heightschurch.org/connect. Click the decision tab. That's going to bring up a form for you to fill out. That's going to come right to me, and we're going to be in touch with you to see how we can come alongside of you and encourage you. If you're in our area, we'd love to connect with you in person on a Sunday morning. Our life groups are at 9 a.m. and our worship service starts at 10:30 a.m. So we hope to see you soon, and we hope you have a great week. God bless.